This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
And we are rocking and rolling and live from Northtown Kia, 3900 Sheridan Drive in Amherst. Come on by, Sal Capaccio here. The rain hit hard this morning, early hard. I was about to leave the house, and all of a sudden I hear brrr all over the place. Like, wait a minute, what's going on here? The rain was just coming down and then drove through it over to here. And now guess what? It's pretty much gone, and the sun is starting to peek out a little bit here on this Thursday. The start of the NFL football season. Can you believe it? We've waited a long time, folks. We are here. We are ready to rock and roll tonight. Not only at Northtown Kia, but tonight, Cowboys, Eagles, and of course, tomorrow night in Sao Paulo, Brazil, you have Chargers, Chiefs, and then Sunday night football right here in Orchard Park, Highmark Stadium, Bills, Ravens. So come on by 3900 Sheridan Drive in Amherst. Sal Capaccio here at Northtown Kia on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's our yearly, I guess we do this like twice yearly, right? We do a couple of shows out here a year, but it's almost, I think really, the show we kind of do and we've done for several years is today. It's the start of the NFL season, and I'm here and we talk all about it, and we got some guests along the way, and that's not going to change today because with the Eagles winning the Super Bowl last year, of course, they are the team that opens up the NFL season tonight at home against the Dallas Cowboys. Remember that when that was announced back in May, it would be Eagles Cowboys. So that's been announced, and tonight's the night. And because of that, we're gonna have Louis DiBiase on. That's right, Joe's brother, gonna join us, and he is the host of the Locked On Eagles podcast, and obviously very, very knowledgeable about the Philadelphia Eagles and the NFC East. So we will get Louis on at 10:10, not too long from now. In about 5 minutes from now, we're going to get Louis on. So, Josh, just let me know when you have him hooked up in about 5 minutes from now, and we'll go from there. Did it rain hard over there at the Amherst Studios, Josh, or was it just
it
over
did.
The city?
We had a debate. We weren't sure if it was in a commercial spot or not, but Joe thinks he heard thunder. Like, it was coming down for a little bit here. But, yeah, it still looks pretty dark and gloomy out there, too. It's a little bit sad. It's definitely football weather, I guess, if you want to call it that. Maybe football weather around here.
No, I get it. Hey, I mean, right. We are used to some cooler weather. Tomorrow we'll find out the weather for the game on Sunday night. Patrick Hammer is going to join me every Friday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, as he has for several years. Of course, WGRZ TV2 chief meteorologist Patrick Hammer. He'll give us a weather report every Friday at 11:30 leading into the Bills game, no matter if they're home or away. Really not a lot of domes this year to play in, so you don't have that. You got a couple. So it's going to be really important this year. All the Bills games this year are in the Eastern time zone, except for one. That is in Houston when they play in the Central time zone on a Thursday night the week before Thanksgiving. Otherwise, I mean, the Bills are playing pretty much in Orchard Park or in colder weather environments outdoors all year. So weather's going to be a big factor. And really, Sunday night's going to be a little cooler than what we've been used to. We already see have the cold front coming in, so it's going to be nice weather, I think. We'll get with Patrick tomorrow on that. Also tomorrow, big announcement. Sean McDermott returns once again to the Friday Extra Point Show with me. We will have Sean McDermott every Friday. That's a kind of a moving target, depending on what's going on each week, home and away game, travel schedule, stuff like that, practices. So Sean's going to join us sometime around either 10:30, 11, a little after that. So we'll keep you updated every single Friday. I think tomorrow should be around 11-ish for Sean, and he returns here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, you know, to talk about injuries and what we're looking at. And yesterday was a big day for that, so we'll get with him. At 10:30 today, my yearly chat with Syracuse Athletic Director John Wildhack. He's going to join me at 10:30. And we talk all about Syracuse Athletics, but really a broader picture of athletics overall and where things are going right now with the portal and NIL and so much of that that we'll be talking about with John Wildhack. So we're going to get with him at 10:30. And John, and I've told people this before, and if you don't know, he's a Buffalo native. John Wildhack is from Kenmore, I believe, is where he grew up, but he's a Buffalo native. And he went on and he was at ESPN for many years before then eventually getting the job as the Syracuse Athletic Director. He's going to join me at 10:30 a.m. Louis DiBiase before that at 10:10. And then at 11:15 a.m., everybody, we will carry today live Joe Brady and Bobby Babich. In whatever order they come up to the podium at One Bills Drive, we'll head down there and we'll hear from both the Bills offensive and defensive coordinators today as far as practice is concerned. The big thing to keep an eye on practice today is whether or not Tre'Davious White is practicing. That's really the big, big deal today, because yesterday out at practice, no Tre'Davious White. What does that mean? Does that mean he's going to play on Sunday or not? Usually it's trending towards not, but head coach Sean McDermott did not rule him out. He specifically said not ruling him out. Now, I'm just going to tell you, the way this normally works, it doesn't have to be. There's no hot, hard and true rule. It doesn't mean if you don't practice on Thursday, a guy doesn't practice, he's not going to play for sure. But the way this normally works is, if a guy doesn't practice Wednesday or Thursday, very, very light, small chance he plays on Sunday. It's possible, especially with a veteran, who knows. But today's the day. If Tre'Davious White isn't at practice today, then I would say it's trending towards him not playing. And who knows, maybe Sean comes on tomorrow and he rules him out and tells us he's not playing. Maybe he's at practice today. Maybe he's limited. And then we see where it's trending towards Sunday. Then the question becomes, if he doesn't play, who is it? Who's in his place? Is it Jamarcus Ingram? Is it Dorian Strong? We heard from both Ingram and Strong yesterday. You can find that audio at WGR550.com and on the Odyssey app. Also, Christian Benford did return to practice yesterday. He had been dealing with, and he still is dealing with, a groin injury. He was listed as limited. I thought he looked good in everything I saw. Put some video out at Sal Sports. Make sure you check that out. Christian Benford out and working with the DBs yesterday, doing everything he needed to do. So looked like he was kind of trending in the right direction, as they say. Tyler Bass also listed as limited, but the Bills did not sign any kicker. I know they brought some in for workouts recently, but they did not sign any kickers. So I think that looks pretty good for Tyler Bass, at least for Sunday night. But you have to wonder, right? What is Tyler Bass's health? How strong is his leg? What can he do? What can't he do? How far away is his range? All that matters in a game against the Baltimore Ravens that's going to come down to these little margins. And yesterday I brought it up, and I wasn't on this show yesterday, but I tweeted it out. I want to remind everybody, special teams, how big it's going to be in this game because of a few reasons. Number one, you have new kickoff rules, right? We don't know what's going to happen with the kickoffs, where they're going to be trying to place them, and how teams are going to approach with the new touchback rule going to the 35-yard line. Number two, no Justin Tucker for the Baltimore Ravens. First time in a long time. You know, I know maybe an injury along the way, but Justin Tucker is gone. They have a new kicker in Baltimore. So that's going to be something to monitor tomorrow. And then, of course, You have the fact that the Bills have a new special teams coordinator in Chris Tabor. Chris Tabor, who's been in this league a long time, he's been with the Carolina Panthers, he's been with the Browns, he's been with the Chicago Bears. One of the reasons the Bills moved on was because, obviously, they were struggling at special teams in some areas, but I went back and looked. Amazing stat, really, and it's not a good stat for the Bills. The Bills have given up a special teams touchdown in three of the last four openers. 2021, they gave one up. It was a blocked punt return by the Pittsburgh Steelers at home. Remember that one? 2023, they gave up a punt return touchdown in overtime to the Jets to lose the game, Monday Night Football, week one. And then last year, you might have forgot, DJ Dallas was his name for the Arizona Cardinals, ran a kickoff back for a touchdown to close the gap. So special team is going to be big in this game. We'll talk much more about this game, the Bills and the Ravens, as we head towards it. Tomorrow's a big day. Tomorrow, a day I'm going to be asking a lot for your predictions on the Buffalo Bills season, as I pretty much do every year here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio here with you, and let's go out to the Wester Hotline right now because Lou DiBiase is joining me, and of course, he is the brother of Joe DiBiase, host of the Jeremy and Joe morning show here on WGR, but he's also the host of the Locked On Eagles, Locked On Birds, I should say, podcast covering the Eagles and at Spectre Sports as well. So, joins me right now on the Wester Hotline. What's going on, Louie? Are you enjoying the ramp up to tonight's game or what?
Hey, Sal, yeah, absolutely. Football's back. I love when the Eagles don't play on the opening Sunday because then I can just really focus on all the other games, and them opening up the season means they're champs, so definitely excited.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the Eagles, and then we'll get into the Cowboys, and you've been following the NFC East and everything that they went through. How have the Eagles changed in the offseason?
Yeah, they lost a lot of free agents on defense, and none of their like pillars, their faces of the franchise, if you will, on that side of the ball. Jalen Carter, still the face of the defensive line, and Nolan Smith, they're here still. Zach Bond got a contract extension. Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, the faces of the secondary. But they lost a lot of solid role players. Milton Williams got a big contract in New England. Brandon Graham retired, the longest-tenured Eagle of all time. Josh Sweat got a big deal in Arizona. Darius Slay went over to Pittsburgh. C.J. Gardner-Johnson was traded to the Houston Texans. So they lost about four or five key players from last year's what I think was a historic defense that was ranked number one in football. So it's kind of the same situation they ran into in 2018 and 2023. It's just the reality of being a Super Bowl champion is teams want your players, and they lost a lot of guys on defense. So they need young players to step up that they've drafted the last few years and the inexpensive free agents that they invested in, because they're spending so much money on the other side of the ball that, you know, on defense, there's going to be a little bit more change.
Obviously, a historic season for Saquon Barkley. Are the expectations the same this year? Do you look at that as an outlier? Do fans say, oh, he's got to be able to do the same thing? Or is that a little bit too much to ask from Saquon?
I think it's too much to ask of Saquon to have the season he did last year. I mean, last year, in my opinion, Saquon had the greatest season a running back has ever had. I mean, he had the most total rushing yards when you combine the regular season and the playoffs than any running back has ever had in a single season. If you think a 28-year-old, even of the athletic freak that Saquon is, if you think he's going to hold up with that kind of historic usage rate 2 years in a row from the start to the season till the end, especially if you're going to make another deep playoff run, I just think that's unrealistic. If you look at the history of the NFL, when Sean Alexander had that kind of workload, Adrian Peterson in 2012, DeMarco Murray in 2014, those guys normally the next year do not replicate those stats, mostly because they probably just cannot stay healthy. There's too much wear and tear in their bodies. So the Eagles do need to be more balanced, I think, especially early on in the year, and throw more, rely on Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, and Devontae Smith. So then in the second half of the year, when they can really pin their ears back and go for a Super Bowl, Saquon will be healthy and ready to go. So I just think they need to be safe about it. But at the same time, they're still a run-first offense. Barkley's still going to be the face of the offense. So I think just there's kind of a balancing act that they have to have with number 26 this year.
Yeah, it's an interesting way you put it there, and I want to ask you about the numbers and how they shake out. But, you know, you talk about later in the year, of course, the Eagles come to Buffalo. That'll be Christmas weekend, yeah, right after Christmas. You know, that's a late game, and, you know, by that time, you're right. Two teams that probably want to run the football and make sure they're playing in that type of weather and environment, and we know that both can do that. So last year, the Eagles finished 29th in passing yards a game, 188. That's not a lot. What's the causation there? It's chicken and egg, right? Is it because they were so good at running the ball they didn't need to throw it, or were there times where, you know what, you really wanted to throw the ball, but you just weren't quite there?
Yeah, I mean, it was a calculated approach. After they were 2-2 and got blown out in Tampa Bay, that week five bye week, they decided to completely change their identity on offense, because those first four games, Jalen Hurts was still throwing 25 to 30 attempts a game, kind of like he was throughout the 2022 season and 2023. This offense historically has wanted to be pass first, but then they said, like, they were turning the ball over too much. They just wanted to get to what they do best, which was running the football. So they took it to an extreme approach last year, and it worked. I mean, they have the best offensive line in football, an elite mobile quarterback, and the best running back in the NFL, at least from last year's perspective. So it was a calculated approach. Was the passing game perfect from an efficiency perspective? No. But you did see at the end of the year, when they did have to throw the football in the NFC Championship, in the Super Bowl, when the Chiefs did take out Saquon, they were able to have success through the air. So I don't think it was more of a issue of we don't trust the passing game. It was more of a, hey, like a realization of we might have the greatest rushing offense of all time when you combine everything we have here. So we just need to lean on that. And it worked, and they won a championship.
Yeah, I mean, how can you argue with it? They won a Super Bowl, of course. Louis DiBiase joining me here on the Wester Hotline. Cowboys-Eagles get things kicked off tonight. I want to ask you about Jalen Hurts, his legacy after winning the Super Bowl. I mean, he's kind of a polarizing player in a lot of circles where people think, you know, he's a really good quarterback. He's not on the level of Mahomes or Allen, but now he has the championship. Of course, Josh Allen doesn't have one. We know Patrick Mahomes does. Lamar Jackson doesn't have one. What is his legacy now? How do Eagles fans and media maybe even view him in Philadelphia?
Yeah, I think he's extremely underrated. I'm realistic about Jalen. I know he's not ahead of, like, I'm not taking him over Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, even Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow. Like, those are, to me, entrenches your top four quarterbacks in football. But it does bother me when people put, like, Justin Herbert ahead of him, or already a Jaden Daniels, who he beat in the NFC Championship, if they put somebody like Dak Prescott, who he's playing tonight, over Jalen Hurts. Because I get it. There are certain ideas of what people think a franchise quarterback looks like, and they have to win and have success in a certain way. And Jalen definitely does it different, but different doesn't mean elite. You can still be elite in different ways. Jalen Hurts is elite the same way that Russell Wilson was in his prime, that Cam Newton was in his prime. Is he going to put up 4,000 passing yards every year and 30 plus passing touchdowns? No, but he's going to put up, you know, 3,500 and 20 passing touchdowns, and then he's going to run for 600 to 700 yards and 10 to 15 rushing touchdowns. So when you look at it from that perspective, like, he does produce at an equal clip to all the elite quarterbacks in NFL history. And when you just look at his win percentage, like, it's up there with the all-time greats like Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. And I don't know how you argue with outplaying Patrick Mahomes, who's this era's Tom Brady, in two of the last three Super Bowls. I just think eventually on-field results have to matter a little bit more when you're evaluating quarterbacks, and with Jalen Hurts. So I think he's a little bit underrated. I would entrench him firmly as that, like, fifth quarterback in the NFL right now.
Of course, the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles is a Western New York native, Nick Sirianni. Fiery guy, emotional guy. He kind of fits that city. He fits that culture in Philadelphia, what he's done. But, boy, I mean, it doesn't take very much for fans to kind of get a little bit disgruntled. We saw that last year, and then all they did was go on and win the Super Bowl. How about where fans are with Nick Sirianni and his legacy and what he's done there?
Yeah, if you look at those first four games after that Tampa loss, people wanted Sirianni fired. And it also carried into the 2023 collapse, and at the end of the year, people just had a sour taste in their mouth. And I think people had some distrust in Sirianni, but he earned everybody's respect back. I think he doesn't, kind of like Jalen Hurts, he's kind of the Jalen Hurts of head coaches, where he doesn't do it in the same way as other elite coaches. Like, he's not the best play caller. Yeah, like you said, he's rowdy, he's aggressive. He's exactly what you think a Philadelphia head coach would be like. But the players love it. They've always bought in. He has never lost that locker room. He's a great player developer. He's very good with hands-on player development, a culture guy that I think this team respects. And so for me, I think Sirianni, kind of like Jalen Hurts, is a little bit underrated in football because he just does it in a different style than most head coaches. But right now, everybody's all in. I think the bigger concern is with new play callers every year, will you have that same consistency on offense, that continuity with Jalen and his play caller? So I think that's more of the concern than if Sirianni can be the long-term head coach. I think we know now that he's the guy.
Last week, the Cowboys made a really, really big move. Obviously, they traded Micah Parsons to Green Bay after they couldn't figure out the contract situation. How do you view the Cowboys from the, you know, 30,000 feet view as a guy who covers the Eagles right now and what they're going through?
Yeah, look, on paper, I think they are the worst roster in the NFC East. I actually even like the Giants ahead of them. But I will say they do have a strength that will keep them competitive in all games this year, including tonight, and it's their passing attack. I mean, when you have Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, I love the trade of George Pickens. I think he's like the perfect second receiver for what Dak Prescott does best. Jake Ferguson's an underrated tight end as well. That is a good passing attack. I mean, they're going to have to win a lot of games scoring, feels like 25 to 35 plus points this year, because that defense just, it does not seem very talented, especially without Micah Parsons. They do have that one strength, which I think will make it competitive tonight. But overall, yeah, if you told me they were fourth in the NFC East this year, I really wouldn't bat an eye. I think Jerry Jones, I mean, I'm lucky to have him in that division, but I think Dallas fans are kind of losing faith.
I'm looking at the Eagles' schedule here, and boy, next week they go right to Kansas City. Then they get the Rams, yep, a rematch of playoffs last year. Then they go back to Tampa. Denver's a team on the rise. Boy, this is not an easy start for the Super Bowl champs.
No, it is really hard sell. They actually are the first, if I'm not mistaken, the first Super Bowl champion to not have back-to-back home games in a regular season, and they play 10 teams from last year's postseason in both conferences. So it's not easy, and that's why I hate to be the I'm not going to ever be week one is a must-win game kind of person. But like you just said, they have some big-time matchups coming up in the next few weeks, some rematches from the postseason where these other teams are going to try to get back at the Eagles. This game is really important tonight for them to take it against an inferior opponent, because it doesn't get easier. I mean, that's just the reality of being a, you know, the Bills know too, a division winner on a first-place schedule. But yeah, the NFL didn't make it easy on the Birds for sure.
No doubt. And I'm looking down, you know, they don't play the Commanders until the last 2 out of 3 weeks. We've seen this before in the NFL. It's kind of quirky. The Bills are actually sandwiched in between Commanders games. You go at Commanders on December 20th in Buffalo, the 28th, and then back home against the Commanders. I have no idea what each team will be by then, but that feels like a monster 3 games for the Eagles.
Yeah, it's huge. I'm a little surprised the NFL did bury that Eagles-Bills game. I mean, they're two of your top 3 teams in football, in my opinion, two of the most marketable teams in the NFL. I will say, though, I think, like you said, they're going to be big games for both sides. While maybe the divisions will be wrapped up for Buffalo and Philly, I do think both teams are still going to be fighting for that one seed in the conference, which we know is so important, like getting home field advantage throughout the playoffs. That's what's helped the Eagles get to Super Bowls. And I think it has been a part of what the Bills run into some issues with when they get to the postseason, having to go to Arrowhead a lot. So I think both, especially that game specifically, there will be stuff to play for. But for the Eagles, yeah, I mean, the end of the year is tough. The beginning of the year is tough. I just think it's going to be kind of a grind all year. They really got to stay healthy.
No doubt. All right, last thing for you, a quick thought on the Ravens-Bills game coming up Sunday night. You can hopefully, and for your sake, you can just kick back and enjoy the weekend after the Eagles win tonight, right? It'll be a little different if they don't win, but then you can kind of watch everything else unfold. What's your thought on the Bills and Ravens on Sunday Night Football?
Yeah, I'm fascinated because I think on paper, again, those are the two best teams in the AFC, and I know Kansas City always beats both of them, but I'm kind of curious to see which one of them is going to be the team that finally gets it done against Kansas City, right? Because historically speaking, the Chiefs, when you look back at history, even the Patriots didn't make the Super Bowl every single year. There has to be a season where one of these two teams, I feel like, is going to be the one that gets it done. I think the Baltimore Ravens roster outside of Philadelphia is the best in football. So this is definitely a tough challenge for the Bills to start off the year. But Josh Allen has Lamar Jackson's number. That's the thing. I think the Bills have the better quarterback in big moments. So it's kind of a battle of philosophies, right? It's the better quarterback versus the better roster. But I do think on paper, those are the two best teams in the AFC, that if it's not going to be the Chiefs this year in San Francisco for Super Bowl 60, it's got to be one of them. So this could be potentially a preview of the AFC title, but I'm excited for it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Host of the Locked On Birds podcast, part of the Locked On Network, Louis DiBiase, brother of our morning show co-host Joe DiBiase, of course, and you can follow him on Twitter at DiBiase, L-O-E. Enjoy today. Enjoy tonight. And let's talk again when the Bills take on the Birds way down the road in December.
Yes, sir. Sounds good. Thanks, Sal.
All right. Thank you very much. You got it. That is Louis DiBiase. Does a really good job there. Yeah, Joe's brother. He's been, I remember having him on the air many, many years ago and kind of like, dude, he was really young and he was getting into the business. I'm like, how are you an Eagles fan? He explained it back then. But now he's doing a great job covering them, and tonight he'll be locked in on that. He's the host of Locked On Birds. All right, in a minute, we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we're going to have Syracuse University Athletic Director John Wildhack join me here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. He's a Western New York native. He's been at ESPN for many years. He's been running the Syracuse Athletic Department now for several years. We'll get his thoughts on their game coming up this weekend against UConn at home, the home opener. But, of course, what's happening with the football program, the basketball program, and just college sports in general, the landscape of where we are with everything right now. Before I do that, though, yesterday the Bills made a transaction which was very notable for a lot of people. And I and other reporters tried to kind of head it off at the pass because you kind of knew what was going to happen. And predictably, the reactions have been where, you know, people wouldn't – they kind of – see it and go, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. But here's the deal, all right? So yesterday, you might have seen the reports that Jordan Poyer was waived from the Bills practice squad. It was only a procedural move. He was literally signed back 2 minutes later. And the only reason they did that was because the Bills also signed Gabe Davis to the practice squad, and you can only have a certain number of veterans at one time on the practice squad. So they had to release Jordan to get Gabe on, but then they gave Gabe an injury designation, which kind of means he doesn't count, that allowed Jordan to come back on the practice squad. I hope that makes sense for everybody. At the end of the day, all that really happened yesterday was that Gabe Davis was added to the practice squad as an injured designation. That's it. Jordan Poyer is still there. He literally, because he had to be off the practice squad for 2 minutes, because league business is done at 4 p.m., so right before 4 p.m., they had to get rid of him. I should say, waive him, whatever, release him. And then after 4 p.m., they could re-sign him. They did it like that. Then today, you'll see he's back on. At the end of the day, it's a wash. All you're really doing is adding Gabe Davis to the practice squad on an injured designation, which means he can't play for the first four games, and then we'll see where he is. The team will, and if they want to activate him, they can, and then they have to make a decision. So just wanted to let everybody know, because today you will see at 4 p.m., Jordan Poyer was signed back to the practice squad, which actually happened yesterday after 4 p.m. That's how it all works. All right, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, Syracuse University Athletic Director John Wildhack joins me. I am live at Northtown Kia right here at 3900 Sheridan Drive in Amherst. Sal Capaccio with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Oh, I know that music. I know that music. I mean, I remember that music. I remember, listen, the first game I ever attended at the then Carrier Dome, of course, JMA Wireless Dome now, was back in the fall of 1991, and Steve Spurrier brought his Florida Gators to town, and they were really good, and they were ranked in the top 10 in Syracuse. Which I think Syracuse was in the top 20, maybe. It was a big matchup. And I remember on the opening kickoff of the game, Syracuse ran a reverse, and it was a young man named Kirby Dardar. What a great name, right? Kirby Dardar. He's from Florida. And they ran a reverse, and he took it to the house, and that place exploded, and, like, the roof came off the dome. And that was, like, my first introduction to football inside the dome at Syracuse. That was an amazing day, and, of course, ever since then, I've always been bleeding orange, and I still am today. And that's why we love having our yearly chat with Syracuse Athletic Director John Wildhack here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. John, welcome back to the program. Really appreciate you joining me again today.
My pleasure, Sal. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Oh, my gosh, right? Like, that was 1991.
Unbelievable.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Your recall is great.
How can you forget that? And then there was the game later that year. Chris Gedney was, like, 1 yard shy of a touchdown against Miami Hurricanes in a monster game. And, I mean, just leaving that dome heartbreaking like that. But, man, those football games were amazing. And now I think we're seeing a big resurgence, obviously, with the football program and the dome packed again, the improvements you guys have made. Kind of take us through maybe the last couple of years and what you've seen from how this fan base with Fran Brown, with the dome improvements, how football is back in Syracuse.
But I think a couple things. Yeah, what Coach Fran has done in less than 2 years is he's totally transformed this program and just our profile. From a recruiting perspective, we're recruiting. Yeah, we're going up against the elite blue bloods for 4 stars and 5 stars, and we're also still we've got personnel department. We still discover diamonds in the rough as well. So it's a combination of our recruiting, our player personnel, but Fran and his staff have done a great job. He's instilled a tremendous culture, and I think at college athletics today, culture is really, really important. And what he says in terms of, DART, that's the acronym, detailed, accountable, relentless, and tough, they live it every day on the field and off the field. Academically, they're doing great. So I think he's really building the foundation for something that's going to be, really, really good here for a long period of time. And again, our recruiting, whether it's high school or transfer portal, has been, it's totally different level than it was 2, 3, 4 years ago. So you take the football component. Then you add in, we just, in the spring, we opened our new football performance center. And I think the best thing I could tell you about it is when Steve Angeli, our starting quarterback, who transferred from Notre Dame, when he was on his visit here, I was talking to Steve's dad, and Steve's dad, we're walking through the football performance center. He said, this is amazing. He said, this is nicer than Notre Dame's. So we have the facilities between the football performance center, the Ensley indoor practice facility, what we've done with the dome. We put over $200 million into the dome. It's like a new building, right? Air conditioning, the largest video center hung video board in college athletics, new lighting, new sound, new premium areas, new concessions. We debuted late last fall, Myron Victory Court, which is an indoor tailgate cell. It's about 25,000 square feet. And you literally walk in. It's right at a gate. So you walk into your gate, boom, walk in your gate. You go to Myron Victory Court. You can eat, you can drink, you can buy your merch. There'll be other games on, or in Saturday's case, College Game Day will be on. And it's an indoor tailgate. And it's 25,000 square feet of space. And it's phenomenal. So we've really, I think, upgraded the fan experience dramatically. It's been a huge priority for us. And the last element that I probably forgot, that I did forget, is we reseated the dome last year. So there's no more metal benches. That's all gone. We're chair backs throughout the JMA Wireless Dome. We're the only Power 4 school in the country that has chair backs throughout the facility. So we've done a lot, and we're trying to position ourselves. Our goal is to compete for ACC championships and to compete for college football playoff berth.
John, take me into that recruiting process and how it works now, because it has changed over the years. And I've had college coaches tell me, Sal, like, we can't even really recruit high school quarterbacks anymore. We're going to have to get somebody in the portal. It's just the way the game is played now and what you have to do. You bring Steve Angeli in. But what is the process now of identifying who you want to bring in, how you want to go about it, the NIL component? How does that all work and come together?
Well, we basically have a mini front NFL front office is what we have in terms of player personnel and scouting. They're scouting. Part of their assignment is high school kids. Part of it is college kids. College kids who we think may go in the portal or who are in the portal. Steve Angeli, he's got a history with Fran. They know each other. Steve's high school quarterback is the brother of our quarterback coach, Nunzio Campanelli. So there's a relationship there. So relationships still matter. And even sometimes with high school recruits, Sal, you may not get them the first time, but if they go in the portal, you get them a second time. So you want to keep those relationships you build. And then in the portal, it's identifying guys that can come in and contribute immediately to your program, either as starters or increasing the quality of your depth. So maybe they don't start, but you know what? They elevate your twos and they push the ones. So I think we're much more selective in the portal, much more strategic to have someone like Steve become available, because we had Ricky Collins, who transferred in from LSU in December, and the battle went down to the last week of camp. And Ricky's super talented. He's got a great arm. He's incredibly athletic. I mean, we have two really good quarterbacks now. And then you need to recruit high school quarterbacks. But the one thing Fran's great about is he's upfront. He's honest. He's honest with the kids. He's honest with the parents, whether it's a high school recruit or a portal recruit. So that way they know exactly the situation they're going to come into at Syracuse.
Well, I'm going to tell you from my perspective, when Fran was hired, I went around the Bills locker room and talked to three people who he had been with in college. Deion Dawkins at Temple, Tyler Matakevich at Temple, and Terrell Bernard at Baylor. And they all said the exact same thing you did. Every one of them looked at me and very, very steadfast and serious said, Fran Brown is the most honest, real dude you will meet. And they loved that fact. And I think that's key, right, John, which is people want you to be honest with them. Don't sell them a bill of goods. And because that permeates and word gets around.
Yeah, you can't BS people, Sal. Let's cut to it. You can't BS, because word will get around. And it's interesting, you say the Bills players you talked to, every person, and I talked to dozens of people about Fran, they said three things: genuine, authentic, honest, and a family guy. And that's right. Exactly what he is. And I
no
think,
doubt about
and
it.
He, and he and the staff, they recruit like maniacs. But it's not. He's not selling. He'll tell a recruit. I've been in breakfast. I've been in meetings with recruits where he will tell them, you know what? Don't come here unless you're ready to embrace hard. But if you don't embrace hard, what are you going to accomplish in your life?
No doubt. No doubt. John Wildhack.
We're going to get you ready for the NFL. We're going to get you ready for the NFL, and we're also going to get you ready for your post-NFL career.
Yeah, thanks. Sorry to interrupt you. John Wildhack there, right here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, Syracuse University Athletic Director. Does it work the same in basketball, you know, as far as the recruiting aspect? Not necessarily anything with, you know, Red and Fran, but does it work the same way in basketball as in football, everything you just talked about?
It's a little bit different in basketball because there's just so few guys involved, right?
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different. Now, our basketball GM, Alex Klein, who was a scout for the Knicks, he did a tremendous job in terms of helping identify guys in the portal that can complement us this year. Because we're in a rare position. Our two leading scorers, J.J. Starling and Donnie Freeman, are coming back. That seldom happens in college basketball. So we've got two guys who are proven scorers. Now it's how you build and you complement around them through the portal and then through our high school recruiting as well. And obviously, yeah, we've got a fairly high profile recruit by the name of Kion Anthony.
Yes.
Whose dad was pretty good.
And
it goes in the Naismith Hall of Fame Saturday night.
I love that. All right. That's great. Let's talk about the two coaches because they're in a different spot, I would say, with a lot of fans and what they think about where the programs are. So let's start with Fran. You just talked about Fran being there for a long, long time. Well, let's make sure that happens, right, fans say. So what would it mean and what would it take to make sure Fran Brown is locked up an extension and staying at Syracuse for a long time?
Yeah, I think one of the things we've done is we continue to invest in football, and you know, the university's been great, supportive of that, and that demonstrates, Fran, that, okay, you know what, we're serious. We want to compete at the highest level, and that's what he wants. And again, the new football performance center. So, you know, we're making the investment, and we're making the investment that Fran wants us to make, that he's thrilled that we're making. And that commitment is really, really important towards, you know, to retaining him.
And on the other side, you have Red Autry. And I went to school with Adrian, and I love Adrian Autry. But we also know that the basketball team hasn't made the tournament and reached the expectations they have even internally at Syracuse. So where do things stand right now with Red Autry heading into this year as the head men's basketball coach?
Yeah, it's an important year, and Adrian knows it. You know, last year was disappointing, and I'll be honest with you. Last year we were under-resourced with NIL money, and we had guys that wanted to come here, but you know what? You know, we couldn't afford them. We had people step up to really support NIL in both football and basketball this year, and we did much better out of the portal. So I think we'll be a much better team. We're more athletic. We're deeper. We're bigger. We're taller. We're more like a Syracuse. You know, a traditional Syracuse team. Nate George is a transfer from Georgia Tech, native of Toronto, by the way, is a really, really good player. I think he was number 6 in the country in assists last year at Georgia Tech. He's really good. So I think this is going to be a dramatically different team. I'm excited. The schedule's daunting, but that's fine.
You know,
if you want to win championships, if you want to win championships, you got to play the best. Yeah, we need to make the tournament. We know that, and Adrian knows that. The staff knows it. The team knows it. We're all disappointed. They've worked really, really hard, and I hope the stain of last year is a motivator throughout this entire season.
John Wildhack, Syracuse University Athletic Director. All right, John, so let's just talk big picture college athletics for a minute. Lots of moving parts still when it comes to conferences, who's in, who's out. It's hard to keep track of these days. You had a nice long career at ESPN. You've seen this from a TV level. You've seen it from an athletic director's level. How do you thread this needle to make sure everything's working well and everybody's kind of on the same page? Because it seems like every time I turn around, there's lawsuits and there's all this stuff going on. Tell me about the day in the life of you making sure that you're kind of on top of things and how all this is working.
You know, it's chaotic, and I think what everybody yearns for is for some stability. And I'm not sure, and we're not there yet, to be honest with you, and I'm not sure we're going to be there anytime soon. And what's going to be really key is the College Sports Commission, which is all kind of a byproduct of the settlement of the House legal case, which started July 1. Is, you know, they're kind of the new enforcement agency for third-party NIL, right? And the question's going to be is when they enforce or when they say, you know what, this deal doesn't pass muster, and they get sued, which is going to happen, you know, what happens then? Because if the CSC doesn't hold, then in a sense you have, you know, then you have no enforcement, and we're right back to where we were. We had a period this spring where it's 45 days, where it's just unfettered free agency with no rules whatsoever. And that's not sustainable. So we need some stability. I think, this is my personal opinion, Sal, I think long term, I would not be surprised at all if there's some type of collective bargaining.
Okay. Well, educate me and my listeners, and I wish I knew this and I don't. Like, let's just say a recruit comes in and you give them NIL money. Do they have to sign a contract to stay at Syracuse or wherever for a certain amount of years? Can they sell you they're going to and then just bail on you? Like, is this part of the regulation you're talking about? You have I forget the young man's name from Florida, a five-star recruit you just brought in from Florida, who's an excellent football player, obviously. Like, and I'm thinking about someone like this, and like, yeah, he's going to be at Syracuse, and I'm thinking, well, what if he tells Syracuse, I want to leave? Like, how does it work when they come in as far as contracts or staying in a program?
You know, there's basically, you know, what we do is, because we're sharing $20.5 million a year. That's the max a school could share with our athletes. So we're doing that. And then every athlete that we are revenue share with, we're signing a contract for their NIL rights. That's what we're paying them for, their NIL value, their NIL rights. That contract spells out specific obligations on behalf of them, you know, academically, conduct, et cetera, that type of thing. You ask a really good question. You know, we have purposely done just 1 year deals, because I'm not sure multi-year deals are enforceable.
Right.
And if they're not enforceable, then, you know, then they're not worth the weight of the paper that they're written on. So really what you have right now is it's on a semester by semester basis, candidly. And that's why the chaos. And that's why, you know, this current model, in my opinion, and I think if you ask any of my peers, it is not sustainable long-term.
Okay, so as an athletic director, are you in favor of saying, hey, we have to have, you say collective bargaining, would that include maybe something like, look, if we're going to commit money, we need a commitment from these athletes as well to be here for a certain time period. Would something like that work, you think?
I think it could, and it provides some stability for everyone, and it provides some structure for everyone.
John Wildhack joining me here on the Wester Hotline. All right, John, Saturday is the first home game of the season. The UConn Huskies come to town, and I'm guessing a lot of people here in Buffalo who are getting ready for that Sunday night game. Here's the best part. If people want to go to Syracuse, spend all day, all night there, they can get back to Buffalo a little bit later for the Bills-Ravens game, obviously. So obviously tell everybody what's going on Saturday with Syracuse opening the season at home.
So we got 9 a.m. QC on the quad will be open for breakfast, so you can have breakfast on the quad. The band will be playing. The team will do their quad walk at 9:45. That's something that Fran instituted last year that was really popular with our fans and also really popular with the players as well. The players enjoyed that. And then Myron Victory Court, which is, our indoor tailgate, opens at 10:30. And that's got all kinds of food, drink, merch, et cetera, that type of thing. We've got some really high-end merchandise, you know, not only Nike, but, you know, we've got, you know, Peter Millar, Johnny O's, et cetera, that type of thing. And then we're kicking off at noon. And, you know, so you can come down in the morning or come down Friday night. And you can get back in plenty of time for the Bills and Ravens on Sunday night.
All right, so listen, and then you know that new stadium is going in across the street. Could we see our orange here in Western New York at some point, John? Or is that state secrets? We're going to see the basketball team here playing at UB against UB, University of Buffalo, KeyBank Center. Football team, maybe the new stadium at some point, playing a game in there? How's that sound to you?
I'm open. I'm very open to that, Sal. I'd be very open to that. Absolutely.
I love that. By the way, Calvin Absolutely. Russell is the young man's name. I wanted to make sure I got his name out there. Five-star recruit that comes to Syracuse. John, I always enjoy our chats. It's very educational for our listeners here, and I really appreciate that. And, of course, I'll see you sometime either at a football game and or a basketball game this year. Thank you so much again.
Well, I look forward to it, Sal. And one quick invitation to Bills fans, to Bills Mafia, on Halloween night, which is Friday night, we host Bill Belichick. in North Carolina.
I love this. I have said, I have to tell you.
Time,
yes.
One more time.
Oh, my gosh.
Bills Mafia, yes, and Bills fans can come and root against Bill Belichick. 7:30,
John,
Halloween,
you don't know
night.
How... You don't know how happy I am you said this, because I have said, ever since Bill Belichick got that job, I have said here on WGR multiple times, I can't wait for Fran Brown to kick his butt and watch that happen. And I can't wait, and I want to be there for it. So we saw what happened on this past weekend with Bill Belichick. Personally, I was reveling in it. You don't have to say that, but he comes to town Halloween night. That would be great. So that is a great promo right there. And, of course, people can go and they can find the Syracuse football schedule online. You can go to Cuse Athletics and Cuse.com, and you can find everything right there. John, once again, thank you so much. Look forward to seeing you down the road, my man.
Thanks, I appreciate it. Go Orange, go Bills.
All right, you got it. John Wildhack right there. Western New York native, Syracuse University athletic director. He was at ESPN for many years. Now he's at Syracuse. How about that? I love that. Open invitation, Bills Mafia, come watch Bill Belichick. And he's saying it without saying it. He's saying, come watch us beat Bill Belichick. That's what he's saying, right? He's not going to say it on the air there and give that bulletin board material. I can say it. I can't wait for Fran Brown to kick Bill Belichick's butt. That's what I want to see this year. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll be quick here in the next segment. Then we'll get to the top of the hour. And when we do, we'll come back and get ready for both Joe Brady and Bobby Babich to talk. And down at One Bills Drive, we'll carry that live here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Hey, guess what? Joe Brady is already going a little bit earlier than expected. So let's throw it down to One Bills Drive right now. Here's the Bills offensive coordinator.
All set when you guys are.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Yeah, I feel good about where their chemistry is. I think anytime until you start going through just live, you know, you get the game action, you go through the live bullets and being able to see, you know, as I think all the chemistry is always just going to naturally grow throughout a season. You know, one thing when you're going against in practice, but, you know, Josh and Elijah are the two like new pieces, but everybody else, you know, I think Josh has a good feel of, you know, how they work, how they move, how to throw to them. And you know, fortunately, Elijah and Josh got a lot of reps with him in this offseason, going back to even in OTA. So I feel really good about the group going into the season.
How has Keon continued to build on training camp?
Yeah, he's like I said all along, everything we've challenged him, you know, just taking another step of a guy going into a second year, right? And he's got the right mindset and, you know, the mentality that he's kind of going with, and not setting any expectations or anything, you know, just as long as he just keeps doing what he's been doing, good things are going to happen.
Last year, at least externally, there was a lot of questions about what your offense was going to look like. With just the departures and the new personnel that you had, how much more comfortable do you feel going into this season? There's a couple new pieces, but it is largely the same core group that you guys had last year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I felt confident going into last season. I feel confident because of the guys that we have. You know, we have a great coaching staff, the players that I get to work with. I believe in what we do here, and I believe in, you know, how Bean evaluates and bringing guys in to kind of fit what we're looking for. And so I don't think you're ever in a comfortable setting, right? You're always trying to find ways. You got to get better. I got to get better. Our offense has to get better. But, you know, my approach and my mindset, I kind of feel the exact same way going into the season. I'm excited. I'm ready to see these guys kind of go out there and do what they do.
From an offensive standpoint, what have you seen from this revamped defensive line and the way that they've been able to grow from rookie camp, but keep going against your unit?
Yeah, I mean, there was obviously there was a focus on, you know, improving that offensive line clearly, and you know, it hasn't been fun going against them, right? You know, we've added some vet, you know, a guy like Joey Bosa with you know, with his experience, and you know, getting to see him just live in action. I'm happy that he's on my team and not having to go against him anymore, at least, you know, especially in practice. And then seeing those young guys come in, you know, I like the depth of that team, or that unit. But all those things you're going to get a feel once you get out there. You know, we've been going against each other every single day. We know how each other rushes, how each other blocks. You know, now it's about, hey, how can we apply it now going out on the field? No different for our offense line and some of our young guys like Jackson Hawes, right? He's been an absolute stud, you know, in the run game for us now. How's it going to look like when he's out there? You know, so I'm sure it's the same thing for, you know, for the defensive line. Yeah, he was, look, you know, I know it's the tight end position, especially coming out of college, is one where it's a lot of just like receiving tight ends. And so that was so exciting watching Jackson Hawes, because might be, and I don't want to ever just like put a guy into like, hey, he's a blocker, but he's the best blocking tight end we've evaluated. You know, the way that he kind of comes out. And so it makes life a little easier for us. You know, we hope in terms of at least game planning, knowing, you know, we don't necessarily always have to put a jumbo out on the field, right? You know, but he's been everything we've wanted. Again, he's a rookie, right? Just like all this, we're going to get a feel of the action as he goes out there. But, you know, Hawsey's been great. You know, he's learning. Again, when you go and get to block Joey Bosa and Greg Russo every single day, you're only going to continue to grow. And excited about, you know, his growth. And excited to watch him go play football on Sunday.
What challenges?
Yeah, I mean, they've been a great defense for such a long time, right? I mean, I know from Josh's standpoint, obviously in the pass game, but really at all levels of their defense, they don't really have a lot of weaknesses, right? And that's why we had opportunity to play them in the playoffs last year, right? You don't get to the playoffs without having that. And obviously, I think, and they've improved their unit. You know, they obviously drafted some in the secondary. And so, there's not really a weakness to the defense. And as always, you're going to go into a season, you really can just go off of what they did the previous year, and you're going to have to figure out a way to adjust and adapt as it kind of goes. But, it's going to be a great opportunity, a great challenge for us. Yeah, it's look, I obviously wasn't good playing football, and so I had to coach. But one of the greatest rewards is seeing the guys that you love, you care for, you want to do everything, seeing them have success, that's everything. And so seeing those guys, I've had an opportunity since I've been here. I saw them when they were rookies, and seeing their transformation and their growth, and then to be rewarded with the contract, and then to, you know, I know you guys might not necessarily see it all, but just see how that it hasn't changed either of them. I'm so grateful that I get to coach those guys. But I love that, you know, nothing's kind of changed for them. And that's why, you know, that's why they're a part of us. And that's why we're hoping that they're going to have another great year, just because they don't really change their process since the rookie year to now. It's pretty impressive.
How important is physicality to your approach to coaching offense?
Yeah, a lot of people always put physicality as a defense, but like, there's no reason your offense can't be a defensive philosophy. You know, like, just what I mean by that is, like, people are always kind of saying, hey, offense has to be this. You want to be explosive. You want to be fast. And then defense, you're going to be the physical, but, you know, the physical group. But, like, you don't have to always have that approach, right? Like, you know, we want to obviously put the ball down and have a physical game. And we know that the outfit that we're going against this weekend feels the exact same way, right? And so, you know, it's can't ask for a better opportunity to start the season. You know, two, you know, great teams, obviously, off of last year. We're both going to have to earn it this year. But, the physicality, that's usually how the game kind of goes, right? You don't look at the scoreboard, and usually the most physical team wins.
Where have you seen growth from Ray Davis year two?
I think the biggest thing is just learning. I think I might have spoken on this a little bit, but just learning the schemes. And I know that sounds obvious, but really the nuances to the, all right, I know my assignment. I'm an offensive player. I know on this play the run is to the right. But now understanding the defense, of how the defenses play, okay, we're playing the Baltimore Ravens. They might play, their D-line might play like this different than last week, and how the offensive line is going to approach the blocks differently. And, you know, just him asking the questions and him understanding that element of all the things that look like, hey, we're just running the exact same play, but yet it's very different week to week. And so it's been cool to see him now. Last year was just like trying to figure it out, where now it's like slowed down kind of. And, you know, he was such a huge part for us last year. And so excited to see now him take another step year two, just like Keon. Yeah, look, I think the perk is I've obviously been with Curtis for a while, right? So I know the value that Curtis brings. You know, you felt him in the playoffs last year, right? You know, I didn't do a good enough job early in the season last year, you know, getting him integrated into the offense. And so I got to make sure I do a better job this year. You feel his speed when he's out there. He makes plays, and the ball in his hands, good things happen. And so he's a guy that, obviously, unfortunate for the injuries that he had and how long he was out there, but when he's on the field, good things happen. And similar to, you know, John's question earlier, is like, we know him. Josh has chemistry with him, understands him, so it's a seamless transition. Hey, you come back in, it's like, hey, I know how this guy kind of runs the routes, and so I don't expect there to be a hiccup from that.
You've been in these positions before, but how would you describe your emotions right now? If you get ready for a season, I'm sure it's probably a lot of things.
Yeah, usually I'm speaking to you guys on Mondays, right? So it's right after a game, and you're just trying to figure it all out going into a, you know, now it's like, hey, wrap up the last game and kind of move on to the next one. This one's a little different, right? Because you're in the middle of the game planning process, and you have so much tape on a previous opponent that their last game was on them. So you can try to, the hardest thing right now is trying to make sure you don't do too much, right? And so balancing the emotion of, you know, trusting your guys and allowing them to do what they can do. But I'm always, my brain never stops throughout the week until, like, you know, kind of Saturday we go home, then I kind of take a reset, and then I always walk into a game confident, and not because of the game plan, but just because of the guys we got. It's I should feel that way. But in the middle of the week, man, it's you never feel like you're going to get it all in, and you're trying to figure out how you're, you know, finish third down today, we'll start red zone tonight, and trying to figure out how to score some touchdowns. So it's kind of like this all week. I'm not the best personality during the week, but we'll find a way. We'll be ready to go on Sunday night.
What's it like on game days as a play caller, week one, the excitement, the energy? Like, how do you kind of manage all that and get yourself kind of locked into that flow state on Sunday night?
Yeah, I just like I ask our players, you know, it's my job to, you know, my biggest fear is not being prepared, and right, and so sometimes that can be a negative, right? You can almost sometimes look at too much or try to overthink things, but there's nothing greater than being able to call plays, right? And I get to go out there and do what I love, you know, with the guys that I love, and so I'm excited. I know you can see it with the great energy I'm bringing right now. But, yeah, I'll be excited. I'll be fired up. But then once you go up into the box, man, and you're as calm, focused, and you're trying to get into that flow state and try to find and get in a rhythm of the game and how the pulse. But it's going to be an incredible environment, right? You're at home, Highmark. I mean, you got to embrace it, acknowledge it. It's the reality of what it is. But once the ball kicks off, you know, everything kind of gets silenced right there, and we're just playing football, and I got to make sure I'm doing a good job of getting a feel and a pulse of the guys as the game's going, knowing that, hey, the first game there's going to be some natural, you know, anxiety and anxiousness, and then eventually slow down and we can play some football.
Everybody has a different definition of flow state. A lot of players talk about being in that flow state. What's the flow state for you?
That's a great question. I'm still trying to figure it out. The flow state for me is when I feel like I'm the plays I'm calling, Josh is making them work. You know, that's usually where it's at. No, I don't think you're ever in a flow in a game. Just because, hey, you think you're in a rhythm and you're rolling, and just because a play, as soon as one drive's over, you're kind of rolling for the next. So I think the biggest thing is just staying present, knowing that there's 60 minutes of a game. Like, to me, you're whether you're in a flow or not. There's so many peaks and valleys of a football game, and if you try to get too high, too low, you know, you can start bad, but it's like, okay, we didn't start strong. Let's figure out what we got to do. You know, and so to me, really, it's just making sure my flow is just not changing my process, and knowing that I got a long game, you know, until that clock strikes zero, man. They have an opportunity to win the game, and so do we. And so I'm still trying to figure out that flow. Awesome. Thank you, guys.
All right, that is Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady. He was speaking down at One Bills Drive. Perfect timing here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show for us, hopefully, to go to Bobby Babich very shortly, but he'll be speaking soon. The Bills will be on the practice field in just a little while. They'll be inside today. They'll actually be practicing inside, I'm sure, due to the rain and the weather and a wet field. You don't want guys slipping around out there, but they'll be inside the field house today practicing. Just got that alert from the Bills. So that will happen today. Then we'll get another injury report later. And, of course, all eyes will be on Tre'Davious White on the injury report. Is he practicing today? Is he not practicing today? Our Paul Hamilton, by the way, is down at practice today because I'm here at Northtown Automotive for the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here at Northtown Kia, and you can get to Western New York's number one Kia dealer right now for Telluride tailgates happening all month. Get the 2025 Telluride for only $399 a month for just 24 months. You can start shopping at northtownkia.com. So while I'm here, Paul Hamilton is down at One Bills Drive. So make sure you're following Paul today on Twitter at PHAM1717. He'll give you an update on who's practicing and who's not. We'll have an official update from the Bills a little bit later. And then, of course, we're going to be dialed into what the Babich can be a little bit later. Thank you. I'm getting no word now. So we might not have Bobby Babich, which is fine. You'll be able to hear him on the on demand at WGR550.com. So Bobby Babich appears to be speaking a little bit later, and you'll be able to hear that a little bit later here on the on WGR Sports Radio 550, and maybe even during One Bills Live. So make sure you're tuned in today. What I was going to say, though, was we're also going to be dialed into the Ravens injury report. And the reason is because there are two, really three key players on the Ravens that may not play in this game, and we don't know yet. Jaire Alexander, a very, very big addition to their defense in the offseason, had not practiced since August 4th. He had his knee drained. He's had knee issues. He comes over from the Packers, former first-round pick, immensely talented player. But he's had knee injuries. He hasn't practiced. He just started practicing again yesterday. What does that mean for Sunday? He could very well be out there. I wouldn't doubt it that he's out there. My question is, though, what kind of shape is he in if he's out there to be playing? And honestly, like, if Jaire Alexander's playing, I might want to attack him and see, to be honest with you. Go to attack him. What's his knee look like? Can he hold up right now? Is he the same player right now that he might not be in, might be different than, 6 weeks from now as he ramps it up a little bit more? So that's interesting to see, but we'll see if he actually winds up playing. But he is practicing. Isaiah Likely, their tremendously talented young tight end, not playing this week. That is the report, not playing this week. That came out yesterday from Ian Rappaport. We also know he didn't practice. He has he broke his foot. He's been out for several weeks. Looks like he's going to return at some point in the next few weeks, but this is not the week. The big one that I'm really watching, and I say big, with literally and figuratively, is Patrick Ricard, their 300-pound fullback or whatever he is. This is a man that really, really helps their run game, gets their run game going. And we saw what he did last year against Ed Oliver on the wham block early in the game where Derrick Henry took it to the house, right? So that was a really, really key moment of the game that swung the whole game right from the beginning. And obviously, he's somebody they rely on when they get in short yardage situations. They put Lamar Jackson, or Derrick Henry, I should say, behind Lamar Jackson. They hand it off. He runs right behind Patrick Ricard. How do you stop that, right? How do you stop that? It's just so tough. And, yeah, the Bills have to have all hands on deck, as Sean McDermott said yesterday, all hands on deck to make sure you're stopping Derrick Henry. As Sean McDermott said, lots of teams have been – lots of guys try to do it. Very few can contain him, Derrick Henry. It takes all 11 on the field. And what scares me in this game about Derrick Henry is he's going to be fresh, right? It's the first game of the year. Derrick Henry's going to be fresh, so they're going to hand him the ball. But, look, if they don't have Patrick Ricard and they don't have Isaiah Likely – you know, the job becomes a bit different for the Bills. They don't have that fullback who's huge, monstrous, running right at them. And they also don't have, you know, their tight end who's a really good blocker to be able to do that. So I think that, you know, having them, not having them, not only impacts how they play, it impacts how the Bills defend them. The Bills have, in the last several years, gone with a base defense at times against the Baltimore Ravens. When I say base defense at times, what do I mean? They go with three linebackers. The Bills traditionally do not play three linebackers. They generally play two linebackers plus a nickel corner and Taron Johnson. The Bills play five defensive backs instead of three linebackers. Most teams do that, but not as often as the Bills. Without Ricard coming into the game, I wonder if they would just stay more in nickel defense and not put as much base on the field. Now, if he does play and he comes on the field, I think the Bills do go to three linebackers more, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's Shaq Thompson. Shaq Thompson, who joined the team, former Carolina Panthers, first-round pick, played with Sean McDermott. He's a little bit older, had an injury a couple years ago, I think early last year, but recovered now, makes the team, and I think he has a role in this team. So we'll see about how the Bills want to play it on Sunday night, but I think a lot of it is going to be how they match up personnel-wise, if or if not, Patrick Ricard or Isaiah Likely wind up playing for the Baltimore Ravens. All right, down here at Northtown Kia, Sal Capaccio with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Just want to remind you to get to Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer all month long for Telluride tailgates. Get the 2025 Telluride for only $399 a month for just 24 months. Start shopping at northtownkia.com. And right now, get 0% plus more on virtually every model. These offers are limited and only available at Northtown Kia. Get to Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Hey, we got some stuff going on this weekend. I told you about Rally on the River. It's going to be awesome. Rally on the River is at Riverworks coming up on Saturday, and it's going to be Sports Talk Saturday with Derek and Joe. I'm going to be joining them. They're going to be on from 10 to 2. I'm going to join them from 12 to 2 live at Riverworks. Come on down. Bring the family. Bring the kids. It's going to be awesome. It is called their Home Opener Festival. They're going to have not only Sports Talk Saturday with all of us, but Mafia Boat Parade at 1 o'clock, official after party at 3, autographs with Deion Dawkins, live music, local vendors, rides, bounce houses, chalk artists. And here's the best part. It's free. Admission's free. So get to Rally on the River on Saturday at Buffalo Riverworks. You can go to buffaloriverworks.com to make sure you're a part of that. Going to be really cool. All right, we also have a game on Sunday night, obviously, to talk about. We're going to be on it all day here on WGR Sports Radio 550. We'll have your pregame coverage throughout the day. We're going to be down at the stadium. And for those of you going to the game on Sunday, I just want to tell you, tomorrow you need to listen to Andy Major. Andy Major, Vice President of the Bills, he is going to be on with Jeremy and Joe tomorrow morning. I'm not sure exactly what time, I'll have to check, but Andy Major is going to be on. And here's why I tell you that. There's a lot of stuff going on down at the stadium when you drive there, parking, the new stadium, the construction, you're going to want to be aware of. And Andy spoke to the media yesterday and said they've lost about 1,000 parking spots because of some of the construction going on this year. So how's that all going to look? How's it all going to work? So tomorrow morning, make sure you're tuned in to Jeremy and Joe, because Andy Major is going to join Jeremy and Joe. He's going to go through everything on what you need to know for the new stadium, the ingress, the egress, meaning getting into the stadium, getting out of the stadium, the parking. I'm going to guess and say to everybody here, you're going to want to get there a little bit earlier than you normally do. Now, it's an 8:20 p.m. start. All right, so it's not 1. And if you go at 1, you normally leave at 10, you might want to leave at 9 or 8:30, right? That's just my advice. If you normally go at 3 o'clock for an 8 o'clock game, maybe you want to go at 2 o'clock. I'm just throwing it out there so that you can make sure that you get there on time and get everything you have done. And if you haven't seen the new stadium across the street, oh my gosh. I mean, who doesn't have a camera these days? We all have phones, right? I was going to say bring a camera. You might want to bring a nice camera, but we all have phones, smartphones. Maybe you don't. Bring something to take some pictures, because if you haven't seen the new stadium coming full throttle basically across the street, it's pretty amazing. And you're going to want to take some pictures of that as well. And it is the final home opener at Highmark Stadium. So it's going to be a special year. It's going to be a really, really fun day and fun night on Sunday. We got you covered right here all day long, all night long on WGR Sports Radio 550. I'll come back here to Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer, for the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We will, if Bobby Babbage starts early, we'll play that for you. If he starts around 11:50, we won't have that opportunity. So just keep it here. You never know. Keep your head in a swivel. I'll be back after this timeout here on WGR.
Yeah, I would say it's somewhat unusual that their last game was us. For us, they were our second-to-last game, and so the data, it really hasn't changed much. And you don't know every year when you open the unknowns, you know, what plays they may have put in, what plays maybe we put in, and personnel has changed a little bit. They're a strong team. They've seemed to add every year to their core, which has been very talented and full of playmakers and guys that create issues. You know, they've done a good job with their draft, I think, year to year, and added some help from a veteran standpoint. They do a really good job as far as building the roster. They're well-coached. You know, it'll be a big challenge for us.
Sean McDermott right there. He spoke yesterday to the media down at One Bills Drive. We have heard also from Joe Brady today. Bobby Babbage going to speak, and then we'll have a practice and injury report, and we'll get your Thursday rolling into tonight. What do you think, Cowboys-Eagles? I think the Eagles take care of business tonight. I just think the Cowboys are in a really going to be having a tough year. And I mean, look, and week one, anything can happen, right? Heck, the Bills beat the Patriots 31-0 one time week one, and then at the end of the year, things were way different than that. You never know what can happen week one for sure. Remember, the Bills lost to the Jets a couple years ago on week one. But, I mean, hey, you know, it's the Super Bowl champs. They're opening up at home. Dallas just does not have the same team without Micah Parsons especially, and Philly is loaded once again. So I like Philly big time tonight. And, hey, and I'm the guy, I predicted Detroit beating Kansas City a couple years ago in that opener. I said it was going to happen right here. I sit in this chair, and I said Detroit's beating Kansas City tonight, and they did that. I think the Eagles take care of business tonight. Hey, tomorrow, join Joe DiBiase at Rally House on McKinley Parkway, 3 to 5 p.m., look for the best Bills gear in town. Head to Rally House with the most outrageous selection of Buffalo Bills merchandise anywhere. Jerseys, sideline gear, fan wear for you, and even your pup. That's right. The biggest selection, the latest styles. Rally House is your Bills headquarters. WGR550.com is where you go for more details. Joe DiBiase tomorrow, 3 to 5 p.m. at Rally House on McKinley. Joe's brother, Louis DiBiase, joined me earlier today. You can find that interview on demand at WGR550.com. Louis DiBiase is the host of the Locked On Birds podcast covering the Eagles. So we talked a lot about what's happening tonight. Hey, the Bills, apparently, according to Aaron Wilson, who's a reporter in the NFL, he covers the NFL and the Texans out in Houston, but he's on top of a lot of these transactions that happen. The Bills are apparently signing Sam Franklin to their 53-man roster from their practice squad. Now, Sam Franklin is a special teams guy. That's what he does. He is a special teams ace, brother, right? I mean, he is a guy that is going to help you on special teams in a lot of different ways. He's not a return man. Like, he's not a guy that's going to be, you know, catching the ball and running it back, as that's Brandon Codrington's job on punts, and that's Brandon Codrington and Ty Johnson and Ray Davis on kickoffs, it looks like. So this is a signing that can help them cover kicks, block for, you know, on kickoffs, things like that. Remember what I said early in the show? A couple of things. Number one, special teams will be big in this game because new kickoff rules, new kicker for the Ravens, new special teams coordinator for the Bills, and the Bills have given up a special teams touchdown in three of their last four openers. It's wild to think about. Last year was DJ Dallas, the kick returner for the Cardinals, took one to the house. The year before that, the punt returner, Xavier Gibson for the Jets in overtime, beat the Bills. Punt return in overtime, after the Bills went three and out on their first overtime possession. And then 2 years before that, 2021, the Steelers come to town. Bills have a tough go of it all day. T.J. Watt has a really good day. And then, of course, the Bills have a blocked punt return that goes the other way for a touchdown. So three of the last 4 years, the Bills have given up a special teams touchdown in the opener. Can't let that happen in a game like this. You got to be able to you know, make sure you're buttoned up in that phase of the game. And it's going to be a bigger phase now with these new rules on kickoff returns, because you're going to have, you know, teams starting at the 35-yard line if there's a touchback, and I think teams don't want that to happen, so they're not going to kick touchbacks. They're going to kick it off to about the 5-yard line or the goal line, somewhere in there if they can, and then the return man is going to run it out. One thing that's interesting when you watch the kickoff returns this year is if the ball is kicked towards about the 5-yard line and you see the guy grab it, you do know the rule is if it's a touchback, it goes to the 35. You may say, well, why doesn't he just let it go in the end zone? I'm getting at 35. The reason is this. If the ball bounces before it hits the goal line and then rolls in the end zone, you get it at the 20. So it's got to go into the end zone on a fly for you to get it at the 35. If it bounces in the landing zone, we call it, from the goal line to the 20. If it bounces in the landing zone from the 20 to the goal line and then rolls in the end zone, you only get it at the 20-yard line. That's why it's important to catch that ball. There's also no hang time. It doesn't matter because nobody can move until the ball's caught. Think about it. What did it used to matter in football? It would be hang time. You'd pooch the ball up on a kickoff, and all your guys would run down there. And the higher you make it, the quicker, the longer they could run down there because the ball's in the air. Doesn't work like that anymore. Nobody can move until the ball's caught. So it doesn't matter how high it is. Everybody's going to start at the same time anyway after the ball's caught. So there's just so many different nuances. And that's last year's rule, too. But there's so many different nuances to this kick return rule that you have to think about. And the Bills have Brandon Codrington kicking, returning kicks. They have Ty Johnson. They have Ray Davis. We'll see if they use anybody else. Could it be Elijah Moore that's out there? I think Curtis Samuel has done it in his career. Punt returns. Brandon Codrington's your guy. Khalil Shakir can return punts, no doubt. We've seen that. He's been very good at it. I don't think they want to put their number one wide receiver they just gave $58 million to returning punts a lot. But he is a guy that they trust to catch the punt, make good decisions, and I wouldn't be surprised if something like that happens. So today's the day we'll get a little bit more of the injury report as well. Looking ahead to tomorrow, we're going to talk more about this tomorrow. Tomorrow on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, Andy Major is going to join the morning show, then Sean McDermott's going to join me for his weekly radio interview. The first weekly radio interview of the 2025 season for Sean McDermott. We will get the injury report and injury designations for games with Sean McDermott tomorrow when he joins me right around 11. Could be a little before, could be a little after. Make sure you're tuned in. We'll talk all about what happened tonight between Cowboys and Eagles. And we're going to talk about tomorrow's game between the Chiefs and the Chargers as well. And then Sunday, it gets kicked off at 1 o'clock. Several games, Bucks-Falcons, two teams the Bills will play this year. Bengals-Browns, two teams the Bills will play this year. Dolphins, Colts, of course, will play the Dolphins twice, but you got some interesting games. Bucks, Falcons in the NFC South, Bengals, Browns in the AFC North, Dolphins are at the Colts. That game, if you watch the lines, that game's gone back and forth from like one team being a favorite to the other team being a favorite by like a half a point, so it's basically like a pick. Panthers, Jags, they get going at 1 o'clock as well. Interesting season for the Jags with Liam Cohen as their new head coach. Raiders and Patriots are on Sunday at 1. Cardinals at Saints at 1 o'clock, and of course, the rematch between, I shouldn't say rematch, the revenge games, I guess, for both quarterbacks. It's like the Steelers and Jets traded quarterbacks in the offseason, right? Justin Fields goes from the Steelers to the Jets. Aaron Rodgers goes from the Jets to the Steelers, and now they play each other on Sunday. So, revenge game for both. Giants at Commanders also at 1 o'clock. Then you get to the 4:05 window. Titans, Broncos at 4:05. 49ers at Seahawks. That's 4:05. 4:25 games, Lions, Packers, Texans, Rams, and of course Sunday Night Football, Ravens, Bills. It doesn't stop there. Vikings, Bears is your first Monday night game of the year. Josh, are you in any survivor or loser pools?
I am not. I didn't jump in on any of those this year, but I kind of regret it because I wish I would have.
Well, it's not too late. Just get with Paul. Paul Hamilton runs one every year.
So, all right.
You can join in with Paul. And, yeah, we'll have to. I'll get you hooked up with him, and you can talk with him about it. But they are different. A survivor pool is you pick one team to win each week, but you can't pick the same team more than once, right?
Right.
Loser pool is you got to pick one team to lose each week, and you can't pick the same team more than once. The reason they're different, I think loser pool is hard. Because a loser pool, you take the one of the worst teams in the league, but then you can't use them the rest of the year. In a survivor pool, you could just keep going against a team that stinks.
Right, like you're not gonna you can't pick the Saints every single week, but you can pick the team that's playing the Saints every single week.
In a survivor pool, you can.
Right,
that's right. In a loser pool, you pick the Saints, and then after that, you can't pick them anymore because you got to pick another team to lose. If that makes sense, right?
Yeah,
that's how Paul's work. So, in week one, though, everything's on the table. My survivor pool, what do you think? I think I'm going to go with the Broncos to beat the Titans. I'll take the Titans to be the loser, the Broncos to be the winner of my survivor. Do you think that's a good pick?
Yeah, I think that's a safe pick. I mean, I don't know what the Titans are going to be this year with Cam Ward.
Right.
You know, if that offense is going to be really doing anything. But the Broncos finished last year really strong. I think the Broncos are going to be a problem this year that people don't expect.
Let's hope they are for the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here. We'll wrap up your Thursday live from Northtown Kia on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Bills defensive coordinator Bobby Babbage speaking right now at One Bills Drive. Let's send it down.
Not only is he talented, but the amount he's pouring into his craft is really cool to see. Yeah, he's improved in football. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding. No, I mean he's just a lot of aspects of his game have improved. I mean, the talent was there. It was a little bit, you know, if you want to say unstructured, you know, but you know the attention to detail, some of the fundamentals that we use. I mean, it's come a long way, and it's really fun to watch. That's the cool stuff you see in coaching and why you coach.
With Dorian, have been talking to some people who know him about how competitive he is. How do you see that show?
Dorian Strong. Absolutely competitive. I mean, you're not going to make it in this league if you're not competitive. So, I mean, it's, you know, the competitive nature, to your point, is there to where he should down the road. There's going to be bumps. You know, he's a rookie. And whenever his time comes to play, whenever that may be, it'll be, you know, he'll have to deal with those. So.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
It's funny. I was talking to someone the other day, and it's like, you know, Jamarcus is the type of guy that he doesn't say a lot. I don't know if you guys have interviewed him, but he's not real talkative, great personality, great dude, but he kind of just lays in the weeds, and then all of a sudden you're like, dang, man, that dude had a good practice, or you know what I mean? So it's funny because he just kind of lays in the weeds and he does the little things right, and he's competitive like you were talking about, and it's cool to see his growth from, you know, you guys know the story about how we acquired him, so really cool.
What is it like having all those? You mentioned there's some guys in the that room that are quiet and a little more reserved, and then there's Tre'Davious, obviously.
Yeah.
What is that room like on a day-to-day basis with those, you know, different personnel?
You talking the corners or the defense in general?
More corners, yeah.
The corners? Yeah, that's an interesting group. That's for sure. It's interesting. I would say the majority of them are pretty quiet, you know. That's not to say anything other than, I mean, they put their head down and go to work, you know, and it's pretty impressive. You know, CB and Trey kind of lead that room. And the most important thing is that guys are themselves, but they're, you know, the young guys are attaching themselves to those vets, which is what you want to see. Because clearly Trey and Christian have done such a good job over their career so far, that's who you want to attach yourself to.
As a defensive coordinator, what does it mean to you to have somebody like Christian, who spends so much of his time after practice in the locker room, kind of pouring into some of these guys?
Christian Benford.
Yeah.
Christian Benford overall is just unbelievable. It's his work ethic. It's the way he goes about his business. It's, you know, it's his consistency in everything he does. I can't tell you how many times we'll just be sitting in there watching practice, say it's training camp, and you just try to find stuff to critique on him, and you're like, the common thread with him is you just keep saying, God, CB just does everything right. He just does everything right, you know, and which I know all of us as coaches, myself, Joe Dana and Jamile, I mean, it's so good to be able to use him as an example, which I did for the young guys in front of the whole defense for training camp, because it's coach's dream to be able to do that.
All right, that is Bobby Babich, Bills defensive coordinator. We can you'll hear the rest of that at WGR550.com. We'll keep it on demand for you. In the meantime, you can also hear Louis DiBiase, who joined me a little bit earlier, Locked On Birds, and Syracuse University athletic director John Wildhack. Thanks a lot to Josh Schmidt for producing today. Thanks to everybody here at Northtown Kia. Thanks to the fans who came by to say hi as well. Thank you for listening. Sabres Live up next. One Bills Live after that. Of course, tonight it's going to be Cowboys and Eagles, and it's right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.